All right. Well, welcome back to Shepherd's Heart again, and I hope you enjoyed that praise time from our friends at A2A. They are very good at what they do, and our prayer is that the Lord blesses them as they bless us. Well, what makes a good dad? That's the subject of today's message. What makes a good dad? What are your thoughts? What are your comments? Well, in the eyes of our kids, and in the eyes of maybe a lot of kids, a good dad knows everything, is really smart, has a forgiving heart, has unending patience, has a comfy lap and a big laugh, is always talking about them to other people, about how wonderful his kids are, and is really strong. Now, I may have missed a few there, but you can add some more to that. And maybe that is a rose-coloured glasses view, and the teenagers may not see us as dads as clearly as that or as nicely as that. But there are some great truths in this. Now, while we fail as dads, and often as our kids grow older, such the view that I've discussed so far changes, it does not change what we have been designed to be, what God designed us to be. And God had a plan for mums and dads, and I want to look at three different parts of this design when it comes to fathers today. And look, it's not comprehensive. It's just three things that I really feel that we need to think about today. And the first one is that a good dad makes godly decisions. So that's the first one. Secondly, a good dad treasures his children. And thirdly, a good dad is there. He is present for his children. So I want to look at the godly decisions, the treasuring of our kids, and the fact that we're present today. Now, before we go any further, I need to point out that our heart as a faith community to those who don't have a dad or a present dad or a good dad is just as keen as it is for those of us that do have our own children. What I mean by this is that part of Psalm 68, in the middle of a song that David wrote, he said this. He said, "Sing to God, sing in praise to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds, rejoice before him, his name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling place. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing." What a beautiful set of verses. And Deuteronomy 10 verse 18 says, "He," that is the Lord, "executes judgment for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothes." And Psalm chapter 10, verse 4, it says, last part of it, it says, "The Lord, you are the helper of the fatherless." And James chapter 1, verses 26 to 27 says, it brings all this together. And it says this, God's heart for those who have significant figures, well, it actually speaks to about God's heart for those who have significant figures missing from their lives. And it speaks about our communal responsibility in this place. And in this passage that clearly instructs us to listen, hear, and act, so not to just be listeners but or hearers, but doers also, James says this, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world." As a faith family, one of our jobs or our roles is to be a part of the pure and faultless expression of what we believe it is to look after the orphans and widows at their point of need. It is to be God's heart, as we looked at in Deuteronomy and in Psalms, to express God's heart here in this physical world to those orphans and to those widows. Now, in this context, James was addressing an issue in his particular part of history where the needs of wives and children who had lost their providers were not being met. They'd lost their protector and they'd lost all that a man was as the head of the family. And while the context today differs, the principle remains. I mean, in James's day, they didn't have social security. They didn't have all of the extra supports provided by the government, and the church was needing and needed to fulfill a substantial role in this. And to my understanding, it still has a role to play. Maybe not as significantly as it did in James's day, but we still have a role and an attitude of heart to have towards this particular circumstance. Now, within our faith community, for those of you who are widows, for those of you who are single, or for those who do not have a father present, our heart is to, as God enables us, to provide for you what is missing, the guidance, the care, the discipline, the protection, the wisdom, as God enables us and directs us. Remember in all of this that God is our model as a loving, willing Father to give us everything, who longs to give us everything. So speaking to all of us in our practical and surrogate roles, let's look at these three things that we have before us today. Number one, a good dad makes godly decisions. And to preface this, we need to turn to scriptures to Psalm chapter 78, or to Psalm 78. Let's look at that now. I hope you've got your trusty scriptures open. And I just want to read the first 8 verses of Psalm 78. It says this: "O my people, listen to my teaching. Open your ears to what I'm saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and know, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children, but will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. We will tell of his power and mighty miracles that he's done. For he issued his decree to Jacob. He gave his law to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach their children so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, that they in turn might teach their children. So each generation can set its hope anew on God, remembering his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God." What a powerful part of scripture, and I hope that that encourages you too. But being a good dad means teaching our kids the truth. Being a godly dad means teaching our kids about God truths. It means teaching them about life, about love from God's perspective. And that's what the psalmist is talking about there. It means making tough and at times sacrificial decisions in ways that tell our kids what is important to us and how that we've been instructed by our parents and by the scriptures and by our Heavenly Father. We have to model this. We have to walk it. We have to teach it. One really good example in the Bible about this is in the book of Esther. Now, who can remember the story of Esther? Well, who can't? Might be a better point. But, well, Mordecai was actually doing what David sang about in Psalm 68. He had adopted his orphan cousin Esther and was caring for her as his own daughter. He could be called the father of courage because he definitely instilled this trait into Esther. When the time came for her to stand for her people and do the right thing, she did it, and she did it in power with amazing courage. Mordecai himself made tough calls, standing against what was wrong, being godly, defying Haman at the risk of his life. He made wise, godly decisions and gave wise, godly advice that saved the Israelites from annihilation. And at the time it mattered most, and this is what I was referring to before, Esther did the right thing because she had been raised by a godly father, a father who knew that the decisions he would make as his daughter grew would help her learn to make godly decisions in her life. And I can tell you that as a dad raising the girls, they watch what we do. They watch how we act, and it changes how they act, and it teaches them how they are going to react in a time to come. They'll look back and think, well, when they're in a situation, it'll be an automatic thought. It'll be, oh, well, Dad did this, so that must have been a good thing to do. So our role as dads and as fathers is really, really important. So moving on from being a godly dad, making godly decisions, the second point is that a good dad treasures his children. Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, "Fathers, do not make your children angry, but raise them with the training and teaching of the Lord." Not your teaching, the Lord's teaching, as we saw just there in Psalm 78. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it." Deuteronomy 6 verse 7 and 8 says, "Repeat the commands of the Lord again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your headbands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Good encouragement. One of the best ways we treasure our kids is to help them prepare for the future. Speaking personally, one of the hardest things to do with our kids is to walk through transitions well. And part of doing this, part of, you know, filling out this role of treasuring our kids is to invest in them, to put our treasures in them, to help them walk through the changes that they will face in life as they learn what needs to be done in different circumstances. The first tentative journey home, I remember from hospital so well, when Mackenzie was this purple puddle in the back seat, and I tentatively drove trying to avoid every bump. The first day at school when she went to kindy for the first time. Going to high school, the first broken heart, learning to drive, letting them drive. Now, that's a tough one. Leaving home, getting married. The list is long, but our job as dads is to prepare them for these transitions, to treasure them in such a way that they are ready for them. Now, I haven't been through all of these yet, and I'm not looking forward to some of them, but I found a poem that expresses well what I'm trying to convey here, and it says this. Is this the little girl I carried? Is this the little boy at play? I don't remember growing older. When did they? When did she get to be a beauty? When did he grow to be so tall? Wasn't it yesterday when they were small? Sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset, swiftly fly the days. Can I tell you, Mackenzie at 18 and thinking about finding her own house and at university and doing all those things, it only seems like yesterday that I was driving that purple puddle home in the back seat of our car. As we walk as parents through the transitions, and I'm not sure how I will cope with walking her down the aisle and giving her away on a wedding day, I will be a mess for sure. I wasn't my own wedding day. It made me think about what God as a father must have felt as he sent his son Jesus to live among us, knowing how we would treat him. How much did God love us to do that? God said goodbye to his son, fully aware that when he was to hang on the cross, that he would be alone, that he would have to leave Jesus alone, turn his face away. And as Jesus cried in anguish, my God, why have you left me here all alone? God did turn away. From his son, he turned away from him as Jesus took the punishment of our sin on the cross. This is something so powerful we read about in 2 Corinthians 5. Jesus took all our sin for us so that we could become clean and righteous in God's sight. I mean, this is what we call imputation, Jesus taking on and becoming responsible before God for all of our sin. And it's such an amazing thing that couldn't happen if God did not allow his son, did not ask Jesus to come and die for us. How good is this to understand and to grasp? This had been the plan from the beginning, but when the time came, it was really, really tough. Our Heavenly Father gave his best, says the Apostle Paul. Why then should we doubt his love for us, as Romans 8:32 says? So let's treasure our kids, teaching them, loving them, preparing them for whatever we will release them to walk into, even though it is really hard, trusting that what we have taught them, what we have laid into them, what we have planted into them and in treasure will bear fruit. It will not be easy, but we can know that God understands. The third point I wanted to talk about today is that a good dad is a present dad. Unfortunately, in our society, this is a tough thing, but let's look at some scripture to encourage us about this, about what God's design was. Psalm 139, verse 7 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I go from your presence?" Exodus 33, verse 14 says, "My presence will go with you." 1 John 4 and 12, "If we love one another, God abides in us." Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So no matter our circumstances, we are not alone. God is with us. And there's plenty more, and I hope that you would take the time to go and find the other examples in Scripture of the time where God's presence is promised to us. So today is Father's Day, a day when we are blessed with socks, jocks, ties, puzzles, tools we may or may not need, hugs, offers of cups of tea, phone calls and cards. Some of you may even get a dinner at McDonald's or Super Rooster or some other takeaway, maybe even Pump. That'd be nice. Interestingly, this Father's Day may be the last I have with my dad. And it makes me think of all the things he was there for and for all the times he wasn't. It makes me think of both. I remember Dad teaching me to start the mower, much to his chagrin later on, to fish, to shoot, to clean animals, to garden, to sing, to preach, and much, much more. What I cherish most, though, is his model of a soft heart, a love for mum, an empathy for those in need, a passion to use his every breath to declare Jesus Christ to every last person he sees, whether he knows them or not, with no thought for his own reputation or well-being. And even just 2 weeks ago, when mum broke Dad out of the facility to allow me to see him, because I'm not allowed in at the moment, my sister and I, my sister was on a Zoom call. On a FaceTime call. And she asked him, she said, Dad, what do you want to tell us today? And without hesitation, he said, Jesus loves you. That's all he wanted us to know. Dad taught us well. Similarly, I also remember the cost of this on us kids, the times he was away, the incessant cycle of church, where we didn't get a rest on Sunday, the battle in my heart to separate the man in the pulpit from my father at home. Sometimes I just wanted my dad to be my dad, not the preacher man, and that was hard for me. It's also helped me to be a dad who tries to walk a similar path in a different way, and even so, I know I still fail. Every day, my desire for those on the wrong eternal pathway or those that need help pull me away. And girls, I'm sorry for the times that I have not been there for you. I have tried to teach you as much as I can about life and have lots more to go, but please know how much I love each of you. My dad struggled to tell me that he loved me. But as a result of this, each of you know how much I love you and how much I can say it. I have worked on that. It took a lot of practice, but it's something that I can now say. Now, a present dad looks after things that need to be done: provision, security, protection, and most importantly, looking after mum, because without her, things would fall apart. A present dad makes all the difference. He can be relied on, approached, be able to give time as he can to cherish, help, guide, correct, and love. And yes, I will help with the assignments this afternoon, girls. From what I can see, this is a lifelong job and doesn't stop when our kids grow up. In the last few years, Dad and I have plugged the gaps in our relationship. And can I encourage each of you as fathers, as sons, as daughters, to sort things out with your dad or with your kids while you can? The peace of heart cannot be measured. If you need to say sorry, say sorry. If you need to admit to something that you did as a kid all that time ago, make sure that you say it and tell Dad. It is good to be a dad. It's tough at times, but it is a privilege. Each of us have an opportunity to help fill this role in the lives of those that don't have a dad in our faith community and in the greater faith community and in the greater community itself, to fulfill the role we read about today in Scripture. And let's together do these things well. What is the part that you will play to fill the gaps that sin has left in our society? Let's make godly decisions that set a good example. Let's treasure the children and treat them with the respect and the love and care and dignity that they need. Let's be available and present for them in a way that they can rely on and trust, that's not going to abuse or hurt or destroy. And to the children that God has given us and has yet to give us as a faith community, as fathers and in this world, let's make a difference in God's strength. I hope that makes sense today as a Father's Day message, and that it is of benefit to you as you consider your role, not only as a father, but as someone who fills in a faith community or in an extended family context, what it means to be a father to the fatherless and husband to the widow, as Psalm 68 teaches us. And don't forget that teaching in Psalm 78 too, that's really good about teaching our kids in the way that they should go. But let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the example that you set as a father who loved us enough to give the best that heaven had in his son Jesus to come to the cross to die for us. Lord, we do thank you for what it is that you have set as an example, as a father, as a heavenly father. And we ask that you would take us deeper into that walk, that as dads here on this physical earth, as people who need to fill the role of fathers within a community structure, that, Lord, you would lead and guide us and direct us in the way that we are to go. Lord, we know that this is just another expression of John 13, 34 and 35 about the new commandment that you gave us, that we're to love each other as you loved us, because that's how the world will know that we are your disciples. Lord, do your work in us. Help us to forgive those that have hurt us and harmed us as fathers and Lord, as children, as a son, and also as a dad. Also forgive the way that I have been harmed. Forgive those that have harmed me, Lord, and ask for forgiveness for those that I have harmed. Lord, be with us and work with us as we progress as a family, as a community, and Lord, as a church, and we look forward expectantly to what you're going to do with these words spoken simply today. And we ask for your blessing in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Son, your risen Son, Lord, who conquered sin, death, and hell. And Lord, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, and we worship you today. Amen. All right, hope that hits the spot, and have a great week, everyone. See you next time.